Glory to you, God, whose power working in us is always doing more than we could ask for or even imagine. Amen. They say our attitude creates our experience. If a person has Limburger cheese on their upper lip, they think the whole world smells. An attitude certainly affects an individual, but it can also affect a whole group. Last weekend, the joyful and confidence, the attitude of our youth group performing God's spell affected all of us in the audience. The joy emanating from the stage washed over us. We were transfixed by their radiant energy, the energy in their song and dance, and our spirits were lifted. Yesterday, I was at my acupuncturist and was telling her about the theme of this sermon and the power of attitudes. She is a practicing Buddhist, and I asked her what Buddhists taught. What did Buddha teach about one's attitude? She paused for a moment and began to talk about control of the mind, and then relayed some teachings about patience, acceptance, and humility. Webster's Online Dictionary defines attitude as an orientation or tendency, especially of the mind. The centurion in our gospel had a positive attitude, one of hope and faith. His plans for the day were focused on getting a message to Jesus. He had heard of the healing power of Jesus, and because he really cared about his dying slave, he hoped Jesus would come and heal him. This centurion had an amazing attitude for a man with such authority. In fact, he had humility, and he trusted others. I would assume he had honor, prestige, and power. He had 100 men underneath him. But in a few sentences, we can tell that he did not lord it over those under his rule. It seems that across the board, he was admired and appreciated by those under his jurisdiction. So much so, even the Jewish religious leaders were willing to help him. Because of the character of the centurion, people responded not only with an attitude of respect and cooperation, but were heartfelt in representing him to Jesus. The friends of the centurion could not say enough about him, especially conveying his humility and faith. They repeated his message to Jesus, "Lord, do not trouble yourself, for I am not worthy to have you come under my roof, but only say the word, and let my servant be healed." I would think humility is an unusual attitude for a Roman centurion. Humility is defined as freedom from pride and arrogance and a modest estimate of one's own worth. This centurion was focused on the well-being of another and not his power and authority. He is not puffed up. Such a contrast with the attitude and language of some campaigning for our highest office in the land. But this scenario can also be offensive if we consider that the central characters of this story are a master and a slave. But regardless, while this relationship may stir us against the social injustice represented there, we ought not to lose sight of the notion that the centurion is speaking on behalf of one who has no voice in society. When our faith is enacted on behalf of another, it celebrates the web of human connectedness, especially in times of illness and tragedy. And we do celebrate our human connectedness in many ways here at St. Francis, through your presence right now, through our prayer chain, for the many involved in our breakfast and homeless ministry at St. Luke's every other month. We always gather clothes and items for the people of St. Luke's and Mama Hills, and now we have a new big blue metal bin in the lower parking lot with the sign St. Francis Outreach. And then we have the St. Francis Scholarship Fund to help young people with a college education, and they're not from our parish. So we all have opportunities. Opportunities to connect with love and compassion in our network of family and friends. So faith in action is not a solitary endeavor. This part of the lesson for us to remember today is this attitude of connectedness, this attitude of the centurion. He is not above it all and is motivated by this very connectedness to his people. It may be a challenge to think about, but our faith in God is not just a private, personal experience. Given today's gospel, we hear how public it can be at times. The centurion exercised his faith in Jesus in a very public way on behalf of someone else. Then what does this story mean for us regarding our faith? Does it mean that if we have enough faith, we can have whatever we want? If that were true, faithful Christians would never die. We would all be healthy, wealthy, and wise. But not all Christians are healthy and wealthy, and for sure, not all Christians are wise. We cannot get anything we want simply by ramping up our faith in Jesus. But our attitude about faith can influence our experience of God. God is doing more than I could ask for or even imagine when I pray. For me, faith and prayer are a process of being honest, of being aware of one's real self and others, of letting go and letting God be God. In those moments when I am feeling weakest, without answers, I sometimes simply say to God, "I know that you know." I have come to experience that the life of faith and prayer is a relationship in itself, an action more than a feeling, a process in which I learn of the patience and power of divine love. And if God is love, then religion truly is about relationships. It is living in the reality that we are connected. Paul, in his letter to the Corinthians about the body of Christ, states, "If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together." Indeed, we are connected to one another. And it is not a cliche to say to someone, "I feel your pain." Therefore, I hope we can turn to one another when our personal resources fail us. We do not need to cling to a stoic private faith. May we, in fact, have the humility to call out to one another when we are in need of support, whether emotional, spiritual, mental, or physical. And when we do reach out, may it not be out of a sense of failure, that our faith was not strong enough to go it alone. A living faith comes to recognize that we are a part of a larger community, called to live together out of love and not fear. And yes, it is hard if you are shy about it all. And it seems we are always being stretched to grow in different aspects of our faith. The attitude of Paul in our second reading is a challenging takeaway today. He really puts it out there when he says, "Am I now seeking human approval or God's approval? Or am I trying to please people? If I were still pleasing people, I would not be a servant of God." The need for the approval of others can affect us all sometimes, causing us to hesitate or not say or do something. We do not want to be misunderstood. It takes an inner strength to stay focused. This centurion stayed focused and became a servant of God's grace. Yet, did you notice, Jesus and the centurion actually never met in person. It is to the credit of the centurion, someone with powerful authority, that he not only recognized Jesus' authority to heal, but he puts his trust in it. Jesus was deeply moved at this, letting others speak on his behalf, and it prompted Jesus to say, "I tell you, not even in Israel have I found such faith." And the slave was found in good health, which led to a new attitude, gratitude. Gratitude is a powerful attitude. At the end of Paul's letter to the Philippians, there is a verse that reads, "Do not worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." So we can live in fear or in hope. We can stay frozen in the regrets of the past or choose to live in the sacrament of the present moment. We too are called to be servants of God's grace, even in the moments we do not have the answers. May each of us choose to leave here today appreciating the power of one's attitude. May God bless us and guide us to acquire positive, life-giving, grace-filled attitudes that become a way of life, believing we are connected one to another. Amen.